Okay, this morning we're going to talk about Sarah, Hagar, and Abraham. And we're going to talk about Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, because everybody that knows me knows I'm very democratic and allow the class to rule and do anything they want to, which one of those two do you want to talk about first? So we're going to do it by show of hands, because I have no burdens one way or the other. So how many want to talk about Hagar, Ishmael, and Sarah? Raise your hands. One, two. How many want to talk about Sodom and Gomorrah? One. How many want to meditate for the next 45 minutes? Well, tough. I've spent 4 minutes studying on this lesson, and I'm not going to waste my 4 minutes. So, well, I can tell excitement when I see it. 62 years old. So one of the things that I have learned in life, what genius is. Genius is having the ability to listen to your mother and father and other adults when you get about 18 to 25. Wouldn't we all been better? We pass the offering around? Good, good. Wouldn't we all have been probably better off in life if we would have taken that advice from that early age and followed it rather than going out and setting our own problems and finding out the older we get, as Mark Twain said, the smarter his father got. And I've certainly worked through that myself. Today we're going to look at these two stories, whether you all want to or not. But I want to keep in mind this. A lot of people say that where you're at today is, if things are going good, is where God wants you to be. So in other words, all the things that are happened beforehand, God wanted to happen, and so that if you're happy right here, this is what God has ordained in your life. I think that is bull. See? So today, we're going to look at two circumstances of people who made decisions, and we're going to look at those decisions as they were being made, and we're going to look at the end result, but we're going to look at the consequences. See, that's what a lot of people forget. If I, in my life today, is where God wanted me to be, then I've got to sit back and look at the decisions that I've made through life and look at the consequences of those decisions. And I got to be truthful. I would say that despite the decisions I've made, God has been good to me.
There you go.
See? But I don't think God started out and said, well, this is a good path to go down, because I look at the consequences of past decisions and say, how would God really want that? Does that make sense? So let's look at, let's start with Hagar, Abraham, and his little situation. And let's remember, was this what God wanted? Or did God make the best of the situation? And what are the consequences? Now, how did Hagar enter into Abraham and Sarah's life? Pardon?
She was their maiden.
She was a handmaiden. She was from Egypt. So she certainly wasn't a Jew. She wasn't most likely wasn't a believer or a converted believer, but she was from Egypt. What else about Hagar?
I don't like the story, so I don't even like to talk about it.
So we got one that didn't vote for this story. Okay, I can appreciate that.
Our people whom we love and whose stories are in the Bible didn't have any faith.
Okay, well, let's look at this. That's a good observation. Because Abraham is called what?
Father.
Father, but what else? Friend of who? Friend of God. There's not too many people in the Scriptures that are called friends of God. Abraham is one of them. So, what was the circumstances that got Abraham and Hagar together?
Sarah.
Pardon?
Bearing a child.
Bearing a child. Right. Why was it important for Abraham to have a child by Hagar?
Fulfill God's promise.
Fulfill God's promise? Okay. On whose part? God's?
Humans.
Yeah.
Sarah was impatient.
How about Abraham? We're not going to blame this on Sarah. All of it. Yes?
It seems like the custom of those days was that a wife who was not able to have children could let her husband be the father with her slave or a handmaid or what have you. And at the birth of that child became the adopted child of the original mother, and the other mother had nothing to do with it.
Okay.
Strictly a surrogate mother.
Was it a shock to the culture for Abraham to take another wife?
No.
Common. Did God ordain this? Why?
We don't think so.
Pardon?
We don't think so.
We don't think so. Why?
Well, I think that the principle behind marriage of one wife, one husband is something that God uses to show that we should have no other gods, and we should have only one God. So even in our marriage relationship, He's still pointing to our relationship with God, that we shouldn't have any other gods.
Okay. Why? What was Abraham's problem with having a son through Hagar? Pardon?
He didn't have any problem.
Wait, what are you talking about? Of course he had a problem.
He left the old place
and that
beautiful
young
talk.
One of the things that came to my mind is that I remember when God first told Abraham that He was going to make his seed as plentiful as the sand of the sea, He didn't really specify, you know, that hey, it was coming through Sarah. He just focused on it'll be of your seed. So in their way of thinking, they said, okay, well, as long as it's his seed, then God can still work through him. But later on, after Ishmael was born and all that, and God was saying, hey, I'm still going to bless you, and He's still pointing at Ishmael. And then God then specifically said, your seed shall be from Sarah.
Okay. Now what lesson did we learn from this?
God made himself.
Oh no.
That sometimes we have to wait. Sometimes we get impulsive. We mess up.
What kind of relationship did Abraham have with God?
A lot of 101. They talk.
A growing relationship at this time.
Patriarch.
You say we can't hear you. What did you say?
A growing relationship.
So why didn't he go ask God before he did it? Before he took the young, beautiful woman?
See, we must put this into a perspective. Abraham was what?
A friend of God.
A friend of God. What does that mean to you? What does that mean?